Capitola Church. I appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to be here. Appreciate the Lord already being here with us. That's a blessing to be able to feel the Spirit of the Lord before you walk in the doors. I ask you, please, continue to pray if you have something that comes upon your heart to do, that whether I be preaching or whatever be going on, we ask you, please, don't hesitate in doing. Don't want to hold up the Spirit, you know. My granddaddy all the time, when he wanted something to go nowhere, he said, put that scotch behind the wheels. And there's times where we can be in service and you can feel a Spirit moving, and all of a sudden it seems like the wheels just stop. That's because someone's not doing what the Lord wants them to do. So I ask you today, don't be that scotch that holds up this church service. If you have your Bibles, like to follow with me as we'll try to read. We're going to read from Mark chapter 4, starting with the first verse. And Mark chapter 4. Starting with the first verse, and I want to thank the Lord for my salvation.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of things that I could be doing today if it wasn't the Lord's guiding hand and not that salvation that's upon my heart. And we've talked about it today. It's nothing that we've done. It's what God has done. I remember when I was lost and I was separated from God. I had a dream that really shook me and scared me. Me and my family were stuck on the side of the road, and of course it was nighttime, and we was trying to fix the car, and all of a sudden lightning struck the moon, and it turned to blood, and the stars fell, and all I can remember is the car, and I was in the car crumpling up on me, and I kept saying, Lord, hide me from the stars. And I jumped up out of the bed when I finally came to, and the fear of the Lord is strong. Later on, I remember being at my house, and my mom talked to me about, going to hell, be like putting your hand on the stove and never being able to take it away, but it'd be all over. And I remember praying about my bed that night and just asking God and trying to reach as much as I can for him. I had my hands up in the air just reaching as hard as I can. I pray the Lord just give my hands, just make them long as it could be, just as long as I can get to them. And I remember giving up everything. I remember giving up my mom and dad, all that I had. And what most of it took was giving up myself. And that sweet peace coming into my heart and saving my soul, it's been a blessing. I know I'm not treated like a blessing. You know, sometimes when we get something we're proud of or something we like, we kind of display it, or we make sure it's kept well. We put it in some envelopes, or we'll hide it away somewhere because we don't want nothing to happen to it. But there's been a lot of times I've bragged at war, and that's my fault. Shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been that way to the Lord, but I'm thankful, Lord, he's always there willing to accept us back in, like the prodigal son we talked about in the Sunday school lesson. He's always there to welcome us back in. And I was called to preach, and the reason I think the reason why the Lord does and wants me to say things like this when I go to a church I've never been before is because I know how important this book board is, and I know that you want a man of God that has been saved by grace and called to the full work of the ministry and been called to do those things, because you don't want just anybody up here mumbling around or trying to make a mess. That's all he's going to do. If he's not been called by God, he's going to make a mess. So you have to have confidence in what he stands and believes in. But I was called to preach when I was young. I was 16 years old, and I ran from it for 9.5 years. I didn't want to do that. I even told the Lord I needed a wife, and he provided. And the Lord, he doesn't let things go. He'll keep following up with you. You may think he's let it go, but he'll follow back up with you again. And the night that we got married, the Lord told me that I was going to have to preach the word, and I ran from it, and I basically wound up in the hospital that next day. And It's been my first week of marriage laid up in bed because I didn't listen to the Lord, having to try that in sickness and health really early with my wife. But I thank the Lord, he came to a point where he just basically laid it out plain and said, I'm going to either preach or take your wife. And I loved my wife, and I got scared, and of course, on my call to preach, which I have to admit, I'm not nowhere near as great of preachers as they've ever been. I'm not nothing fancy. I'm not nothing to look upon. I'm nothing but trying to serve a loving God, and that's what we all are. Mark chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some fell upon stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on ground, a good ground, and yielded fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto him, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So this is what the Lord's put upon my heart, and it's been on my heart quite a while this week about this. And you know, and the thought that really came to me as I was reading this was about that ground. I was thinking about how that ground had to be in a certain condition. It had to be a certain way, and I tried my best. I'm no, as they call it, a green thumb or anything. I've tried a couple times to grow some things, and 9 times out of 10, it'd wither up and die, but that's because I'm not really good at it. But there's a lot of times that we think about our lives, and it kind of put back to my mind about farmers, how they had fields, and they had different fields for different things. And when you go to farm things, and I appreciate the Lord having the use of Google, because that way I can look it up and see how to farm the best of my knowledge. But there's times when you go out to the field and want to plant something that you don't just go out and start planting. You have to go out and start tilling the ground. You have to start getting things ready. And whatever you're planting, you have to make the ground ready for that. Some things like to be in a sandy or a rocky ground. Sometimes it likes to be in a rich, fertile ground. It just depends on what you're wanting to plant. The same goes for the church. When it wants to talk about a revival, it has to prepare ground. It has to make ready for the harvest. It has to make ready to start planting those seeds. It has to make ready for the watering of the seed. But the man that waters, and the Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, for one saith, I am Apollos, and another, I am Apollos. Are you not called? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed. Even the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. I don't care how much you want to go out there, and you can put a lot of fertilizer on a field, and you can water it to death, but unless God wants the increase, you'll see nothing of it. That's why we have to prepare for those things. We have to go out to God and help do those things. And as we were sitting here, I got to thinking about, there's some times my field and your field, it's the same field. I got to help you out. You got to help me out. Sometimes God sends people. You ever be doing something and someone show up and you say, boy, you sure are on time. I need your help about 20 minutes ago. That's not such a thing with the Lord. He's always on time. Even when Lazarus was laying in the tomb, they told him, they said, you know, why are you showing up now? He's already dead. I'm sure the Lord, he kind of chuckled a little bit and said, he's not dead, he's just asleep. He was right on time. We have to be right on time for the Lord. When the Lord wants us to be at a church house, or he wants us to be wherever he wants us to be at, whatever time he wants to be at, You know, sometimes that I thank the Lord, He gives us those things. I had a boss one time. The Lord had asked me to tell him that I was praying for him and his family. And I texted him. I said, I'm just praying for you. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. And whatever you got going on, I'm praying for you. And he texted back and said, who told you? And it wasn't no one but the Spirit of the Lord told me. His wife's cancer came back again. And they're not speaking a word to nobody about it yet. That's the power of God, when God can move on things and show things to people. Ministers, sometimes lay members have an inkling to call their sister or their brother or call somebody just to say, I'm praying for you. And that helps start the conversation. Don't take light what God puts in front of you to do.
Amen.
Had another thought about how, but sometimes we think, boy, that's a small thing with the faith of a mustard seed. You know, we think about it sometimes, we think, boy, this is a little bit small, but every time you do something for the Lord, or you don't do something for the Lord, that small thing that you should do or you shouldn't do will wind up being a big thing. You take somebody that goes out there, they take a bunch of chemicals, they dump it into a lake. Well, dump it on the ground. Yeah, the first round, it might not look so bad for that harvest. But you keep doing it over and over. By that certain point, you're going to have to start over. You're going to have to take that topsoil and just rake it off. My dad works on gasoline pumps and gasoline stations. And every once in a while, they'll have a tank to leak in the ground. And they have to go out and they have to take all the soil up. And they have to take it somewhere and they have to treat it. And they got to chemically give it some better nutrients and make it to the point where they can actually use it maybe again. Sometimes the Lord, He has to come to us and He has to clean us up a little bit. Sometimes He's got to come to the field of me and He's got to take a topsoil off a little bit. He's got to get me back down, as the Bible talks about, in the foundation sometimes. Or sometimes I'm so far out in left field, He's just got to rake it all over back down to the foundation and start over again. You ever been by a house or somewhere? Well, they're building something and it gets tore up and gets tore down. Most of the time, they just take it right back down to the foundation and start over again. My foundation is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My salvation is my foundation. My responsibility is how I build upon that and how I build the layers upon that. Where does this go now? Where is that going to go? You know, the farmers have an almanac. I don't know how accurate it is most times, but they talk about it a lot. They say, you want to know when to plant? Get the farmer's almanac for the year. This is our almanac. It ain't changed, though. Every year they come out with a new one, the 2021 edition, the 2022 edition. That scripture right there has been there a long time.
Amen.
It's good for reproof, for rebuke, for retribution. I tell you what, if you want to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, right here's to do it. And you won't go wrong. You'll see that field get green. You'll see the Bible talks about how the harvest is now at hand. Said, so pray for more laborers. That's what we need. We need more laborers. God will provide.
Amen.
There's not been a time that I've not asked for God that He's not provided what I needed. Now, hence, I didn't say what I wanted. You know, sometimes when you see a farmer out there, he got him a new tractor. It's the biggest there ever was, and he's taking out care of an acre. Or somebody gets a brand new lawnmower, and it's a 60-inch cut. They got a 2-foot area to cut. God gives us exactly what we need when we need it. My mom and dad thought it would be a real good idea when I was growing up to help teach me some strength and everything. They got me one of those reel mowers. Not the ones you pull or the gas. No, I was rear. I hated that thing. But I tell you what, when they finally got a gas one, I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I was very appreciative of it. God sometimes puts us in the hard times. Sometimes God puts us through the valleys. He puts us through times that we don't know where we're going to get the next meal or we're going to not get the next thing that we need. But God will provide those things. And like I said, it might not be all what you thought it was going to be, but I tell you what, through the other side, you'll say, Lord, you were there with me. Sometimes God puts us through those things, those trying times, and I tell you what, if you was a farmer and you went through a drought, you prayed for rain. If you was a farmer and the crops, the crows, the locusts, or the whatever came up and started eating stuff up, you'd pray, Lord, take them out of there. I think sometimes this on-demand that we have is ruinous sometimes. If you want something from the grocery store, you just get up and you go. You want an apple, you want an orange, you want a grape, go. Now, it wasn't so back in them days when you had to farm for everything. When you didn't get what you needed, you were very thankful of what you got. My mama used to talk about how that when she was growing up, they didn't get dolls, they didn't get toys. There were sometimes their Christmas was just fruit. A plum. And nowadays we say, well, that ain't much. Depends on what you have. Lord gives us some things sometimes we don't even realize what it is.
Amen.
And how much a pleasure it is to have it until it's gone. We talk about that friendship. Sometimes Lord puts us in paths just for a short season.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity you have. If you got help, take the help. If you got somebody praying for you, tell them pray the more. If you got somebody concerned about you, you should be happy that someone's concerned about you. This world ain't concerned about nothing other than itself. They'll see somebody on the side, you talking about having a field, they'll pass you by, and you're out there and your tractor's broke. You get out the mule, and the mule lays over, and they'll just drive past you and think, well, I feel sorry for them, but I'm going to keep on going. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to stop and say, brother, you need a help? You need a hand? I don't know how to farm, but if you tell me to drag the plow myself, I'll try my best. Sometimes it's just the thought of knowing that somebody's there for you. But Jesus is always there for you.
Amen.
There's been some times I thought, Lord, how are we going to do it? And he brings it right on and makes it perfect. Lord, how are we going to do this or that? I don't know. I feel a little low. That's okay. The Bible says in weakness is strength. There's times I got to get weak to see how strong that he can be. I'm no strength. I'm no strong. But he sure can do some things that it blows the mind. When you see someone that you thought would never show up at the doors of the church and they show up again, you think, Lord, it's you. You've done it. You see someone that's been hurting or have cancer, and you pray about it, and they go back, and there's not a cancer drop in them. Lord, that's you. It's not of us. The Bible says that even the works. I'm glad he said that. I'm glad he told us about how that works mean nothing. It's salvation. There's some people, I don't care how much you work and how much you work on a field, if God don't want it to grow, it'll never grow.
Amen.
It'll be a muddy swamp or... there's times the Lord can take a muddy swamp. Thought hit my mind as we was having Sunday school. You know, God took a mess and he made hay. Or God took a mess and he made grapes. God took a mess and he makes something out of it. Now, I can't do that. I've tried my hand at being a farmer. I've tried my hand at growing things. We got a plant that's sitting on the counter right now. Sometimes I water it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I think it just sits there by itself for a long time. The thing won't die. It's still living on for some reason. It's got a purpose of some sort, whether just to remind me, it's all in his hands anyways. Lord gives a simple lesson sometimes, even in our children. Even in the small ones, there's life lessons to be learned from them. Now, I tell my kids sometimes, I think you teach me more than I teach you. Jesus has a wealth of knowledge. If you want to know when to do it and how to do it, talk to him. He wants to hear from you. When you're sitting there and there's a movie that Faith Like Potatoes. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a real good movie. It talks about how potatoes, you can't see them in the ground. And you can plant them, you can pray, you can hope. You need some rain, you pray for rain, but you won't tell the harvest until you pull them out of the ground. There are some things that we pray about and we ask the Lord to take care of this church, that church, pray that it'll be there for grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We won't know. We won't live to know some of the things that we've done or that we try to do for the Lord, how it'll pan out. But we have to have faith. That's one thing that God's in control of, and that's time. Everything that grows or planted needs time. Some things grow faster than others. Some things need to be plucked others faster. Lord only knows. There could be children that we don't know about that are 6, 5. I've heard of people being lost at 5 and 6 and getting saved at 5 and 6. Then I've heard people waiting all the way up until they're up in their 90s and older. Shouldn't wait. The field of the harvest is white. Ask the Lord. If you don't have something, the Lord's not putting something on your heart, ask to be a good laborer. Whatever it is, the Lord gives it to you. He's got faith and confidence in you. Sometimes in this world that we live in, we don't see a lot of faith and confidence in each other. This world wants to put each other down, wants to straddle on somebody or take something that ain't theirs or do something that ain't supposed to and beat people down. And that's a shame. That's a shame that this world, that's what it's in now, is to beat each other down and me better than you. That's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible says, esteem thy brother higher than yourself. We have an advocate with a father that loved us more than a friend will ever. Life lessons right here. Life lessons. Be in prayer for your pastor. We've grown to love him like a brother. Sometimes we kid about that every once in a while. We say we're brothers. We're not. Of course, spiritually we're brothers, but I've never had a brother or sister. I'm an only child. So I count these two as brothers and sisters. I count you as brothers and sisters. If you know the Lord, we are all brothers and sisters. And what brother or sister wouldn't do anything for their own? Amen. I pray the Lord will take the message and help it grow in your heart. I hope it takes root. You know, we read in that lesson we pulled from about the root. If you want to kill something, my granddaddy had trees in the front yard, and he cut it down to the stump. The thing wouldn't ever die. You want to kill something, you'd always dig up around the roots and chop the roots. And it died all right. We should be rooted and planted in Jesus. Every step we take should be coming from his root. That way it'll be here forever. You know the sequoia trees, they say, been here for hundreds of years. That's what I want this church right here. Friendship. I want people 100 years from now to go back and say, well, that church for 100 years there and 100 years there. It's our responsibility to dig in and work hard so that some people we never will know will have the benefit and reap the benefit of a church like this. Amen. Appreciate the Lord today.
Talk about wanting the church to be here for another hundreds of years. The Bible tells us when Jesus comes back,